9:30 on a Friday morning, an opportunity for us to spend a little bit of time with our legislative team. And looks like Representative Earl Sears at the microphone. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Charlie. And he just walked in the room. I was just going to say, I'm sure Representative Dunlap will join us, and he just did.
All right.
Well, anyway, it's been an extremely busy week, and I know that those of you that follow this show understand all this terminology in regards to when we talk about deadline weeks. We had one several weeks ago where all House bills were heard, and then you have a little bit of a break, and I don't mean you go play golf. I mean there's just a break in the action, then it very quickly starts again for us all hearing Senate bills, and then we go through that process of all committee work. Well, we have met two major deadlines, and this one was hearing all the Senate bills, and likewise the House, the Senate was hearing all the House bills. So now then, that process ended yesterday, and more serious work will start in regards to two major things. There'll be, you'll start hearing a lot about JCAB bills, and the short version of a JCAB bill is just specifically all financial bills that we'll use to put together the budget or an appropriation of maybe a supplement we have to do. Anyway, just that's what JCAB's all about, that the House and the Senate has to agree upon. We had one of those last night. All of us, I say all of us, the majority of us got home late last night because we did have a JCAB meeting. I think we heard about 10 bills. Senator Daniels was telling me that they heard about 10 or 12 bills. So anyway, that's what we're doing now. And then the next thing that will start will be conference committees, where you'll have to go in and tweak some of the language where the Senate didn't like this or the House didn't like that. So you have a conference committee, and let's just use an example here. Senator Daniels and I will go to a room and hammer out whatever the differences are in the bill, and we agree to it, and then we send it back through the process. And that's the two major things that'll be going on right now. But again, always the whatever term you want to use, the big issue, the grill in the room, the elephant in the room, is now everything will be just a full force budget. I've said at this radio show numerous times since the first day of session, there's been numerous meetings about the budget day in and day out. But now then, it'll just be just fast and furious in regards to wrapping up the budget and pulling all the pieces together. So that's pretty much what we're doing right now. It was extremely busy, and looking, I'm just glad to be home this weekend.
A good thing to do, and I guess I can invoke Senator or former Senator Ford. His comment frequently was, "Happiness is seeing the Capitol Dome in the rearview mirror." So, good morning, Mr. Dunlap. How are you today, sir?
I'm good morning to you too, Charlie. I'm delighted to be here, and I think it's a great weekend. I'm in good spirits and hopeful, and around some good people this morning. So I'm doing well. Well, I wanted to give a couple of updates. First of all, I wanted to comment on Governor Fallon's first veto of the session. Her veto was over House Bill 1552, which was a change in the way that the legislature approves or disapproves rules put in place by agencies. And so she vetoed it, and her opinion was that we have the ability to disapprove of agency rules through a resolution process. What we were trying to do is we were trying to create a guard in place where we would have to approve of rules, especially rules that involved fees and changes in those fees. However, the governor vetoed that, and she thought that the system that's currently in place was sufficient. So we'll see how that gets worked out towards the end of session. We, of course, have the ability to override the veto. But the goal, of course, is to there's a lot of agencies. Many people don't know this. There's a lot of agencies that are non-appropriated agencies. And in fact, we're moving more agencies toward a non-appropriated status. And there are a lot of agencies that are mostly non-appropriated, meaning that the majority of their budget comes from their own internal operations. So just in the time that I've been serving, I know that the Attorney General's Office has become non-appropriated. The OSBI has become more non-appropriated. It's not completely unappropriated right now. But when that happens, there's a sense in which, yay, we're operating more efficiently and things like that, but we do give up the power of the purse as your representatives. And so there's some adjustments that probably need to be made in the future. The governor didn't like this particular adjustment. We'll see going forward if we're going to if we're going to change that or move that at all. But that is her first veto of the session, and we'll see how that gets played out in the near future. Wanted to make a comment on also the budget process, because that's what we're all involved in. The budget process as it is now, there's negotiation. The biggest negotiation is always between the House and the Senate. And the House is very committed to the plan that we put out for the teacher pay raise. Oh, sorry. I'll call that person back if you're listening. But the House is very committed to the teacher pay raise plan, which is a 1,000 pay raise in the first year, 2,000 the next year, and then 3,000 in the third year. And the House has wanted to dedicate any cancellation of tax credit and any cancellation of the tax exemption, the first $52.6 million of that, to the teacher pay raise, because that first $1,000 only cost $52.6 million. One of the reasons that we know that number is that we've gone through and we've differentiated who's a classroom teacher, who is a non-classroom teacher. And of course, you know, your listeners should know, 55% of the employees in the Oklahoma Public School System are non-classroom personnel. Our non-classroom teachers, I should say. And so that's the reason we can know that number with specificity. It's $52.6 million. The districts, of course, have to pick up some of the benefits and their portion of that salary increase. But we're committed to that, and hopefully we can get everybody else on board. But that's the journey we're on in the House.
Okay, thank you very much. And I'm sure there will be more on that, either if not today, in the next week or two. Good morning, ma'am.
Well, I think we'll just have some more on that right now.
That's your privilege.
The Senate had a $1,000 teacher pay raise bill.
A separate bill.
Yeah. And it's my understanding, and I could be wrong, that the House refused to hear that one because they were so married to their own. And maybe that ruffled some feathers on our side, because then we didn't hear theirs. Now, Representative Sears will have to tell me if that means it's all gone and forgotten now. I don't think so. But that was interesting. I had not heard anything until just now about dedicating tax credit savings to a teacher pay raise. In our body yesterday, we said several times that the budget is very precarious and savings need to be made and need to find revenue, but that at the end of the day, you have to consider all of government, and that may or may not include a teacher pay raise this year. So, just a different perspective. Couple of things. We tidied up the Real ID. My first vote in the legislature was on Real ID. And one of the last votes was yesterday to tidy up Real ID in the using of biometric data, which is a real problem for some people, and facial recognition software. It had to do with specifically how our government could use that in connection with this new licensing procedure. Mm-hmm. So that was all tidied up. People talk about crazy bills, whatever your definition of crazy is.
You got one.
Well, I thought it was crazy yesterday that we spent quite a bit of time debating a change in the driving in the left-hand lane on four-lane highways.
Okay.
And I voted no, because if you're impeding traffic and you're reckless and you're inattentive, they can pull you over. I don't need it to say you may not be in the left-hand lane unless you are passing. So we spent, but it passed out by one vote. So there you go. That's one of the things we spent the last day on. Very gratified that the performance audit review bill, authored by the speaker and the pro tem, and co-authored by three of the freshmen in the Senate, made it out. And I know the pro tem was very excited, because he immediately put out a press release on it, because it really will help us find savings over the next few years in conducting these independent performance audits, particularly of the largest spending, largest budget agencies. And that's where I am. We got out about 7:30 last night. We did 12 of these joint committee on appropriation and budget bills, and I did not bring my official tally with me. I think one of them failed, but for the life of me right now, I'm not sure which one it was. But
I did overhear you say something like several of these were either passed or failed on a one-vote margin.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And that's just out of committee. So it has to go to the floor now and pass. And I will mention one other thing, because We talk about how helpful the tribal governments are, and that is very true. But I did see a commentary by the chief of the Cherokees talking about all the money they've given to education in the Cherokee Nation area.
14 counties.
And one of his remarks was, because the state legislature does not properly fund education, we are glad to try and help. And that's wonderful. But when you buy your tag from the tribe, when you, what's the other thing? Buy your cigarettes from the tribe. Taxes on those purchases, if you purchased them at a regular tag, would go towards education. So just like shopping locally in Bartlesville also helps education, let's just remember that that tribal economy does have an effect on how much we take in the economy overall. So I just wanted to make that point that those are decisions we all make, but you would have more tax revenue in state government if those alternatives weren't out there. Just to clarify a little bit.
Okay, thank you very much for that.
My two bees in my bonnet have now been resolved.
I am glad. I do not want bees.
So I can be happy like Representative Dunlap.
And I think you would all deserve to be happy, whether you are or not. Earl.
Well, my two cents is I think you've picked up we're a little testy in here this morning.
Gee whiz.
No, really, really. That's the beauty of your state government. You can agree to disagree and still leave the floor and be friends. I have always found that just absolutely a very rewarding journey that I've been on with members both in the House and the Senate, in which I say that to lead right into this and the comments that the representative made and the senator made. So I'm starting my 11th year, so let me weigh in and answer the senator. What will happen is we're adamant on a teacher pay raise. The Senate has played the role of, you know, if we can, and correct me if I'm wrong, if we can pay for it, we'll join you. And that's just how the conversations continue to go up there. And I got to say, probably rightfully so. But at the end of the day, we'll come together, all the leadership and members, and we'll hammer out some kind of a proposal. Hopefully, if we do get the money, and again, the House is adamantly working and striving to put those funds on the table. And I think if the Senate sees that, you know, it makes sense, then they'll come on board and we'll have a pay raise. But again, that's the point. That's just how the process works. And, it, you know, could very well be cut in half. But anyway, that's the journey we'll be on right now. Well, a little time we have left, let me just comment about the budget. The only thing is, let there be no question here. The clock is ticking. Time is running out. There will be intense negotiations, intense discussions in regards to the budget. And at this point in time, I still am on the positive side of things, that we will work out a well-rounded budget for the people of Oklahoma. And I am just confident that we'll come to that position. Okay, let's put it that way. And so you'll hear more about that over the next couple of Fridays, because we don't have much time left.
No,
okay?
You don't. Yeah.
I guess this is the time to say thank you, Phillips 66, for sponsoring our radio show. Unless you have another question you have for us.
I think that you have answered all the hot topics that I, you know, and yeah. I would love to hear more, but I don't think there's more to hear right now.
I mean, I do want to say this, and I'll close with this, and that is, I think I speak for all three of us. We thank you for the two town hall meetings we had. I thought it was a wonderful town hall meeting we had at the Fine Arts Facility.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, now 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And then last Friday night, I think that group is called Peak. Is that correct?
Correct.
We did a town hall meeting last Friday night, Peak. I think the community saw all three of their representatives. We did disagree on some issues, but, I mean, it's not like we're completely opposite end of the spectrum. I think they saw the diverse opinions and how we're representing and the voice that we have for them in state government. And I think that is always good that your community sees what goes on with your elected officials. And it's imperative that people have the opportunity to ask their elected officials what they're doing in state government. So I know I speak for all three of us. We thought it was both of the town hall meetings were very good. And we'll simply say, don't give up on us. You'll hear from us next Friday.
And if you didn't hear that broadcast of the town hall meeting, you can go back to the story that was posted over the weekend and listen to the recording in its entirety. And again, I know they said it, but this program brought to you by Phillips 66.
It's 2:37 p.m. Sarah needs a bit of a break, so she stopped by her...